Blog Talk Radio.
Activate. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What you gonna bring to the table tonight? Give it to them, and I'ma give it to you. They don't understand the whole thing. What I'm talking about? It ain't no doggone tomorrow, brother. We gonna do it today, and we gonna do it.
Hold up, man up.
What are you? I'm comfortable.
It's time to man up, man up.
Alright, everybody.
Who are you?
You.
No, not me, you.
Yes, I'm you.
Just answer the damn question.
Man up.
Behold this. Life. Real life.
That's what real men do.
Man up.
Shadow.
Taking a different scholarship, they got a better offer, but he's tuning in, he is checking out the show,
And of course, we're gonna get in tonight about the topic of definition of a man. You know, this came about because I've heard a couple of women talk about a man should, I mean, just really just dogging men. Then I've heard men saying, young men say, well, I'm a man, you know, with his pants hanging off his ass and you know, with no job. I'm a man arguing with a cop on the corner. So that whole thing kind of brought a light here. Like, what is the definition of a man? You know, so I'm going to turn this over right now to my brother Eddie. Then we're going to talk a little bit down the panel, and then we're going to talk to Dewan and get their perspectives. What do you think, brother, about the topic?
I think it's an excellent topic. I'm glad it was brought up. I personally don't see that there's an actual or definite definition of a man. I know there's you can see results of what men do or should be doing, but in the end, I think everyone should be or end up being just wonderful citizens of their community, period. When it comes to being considerate of others and giving back and doing stuff, because in the end, whatever you come up with as far as the definition for a man, you're going to have some of that or even all of that in a female at some point, whether it's when she or if she's a single-parent mom or if her husband passed away. Anything that you can try to consider is a man's job or being a man, you're going to have as a female, and vice versa. As far as you calling somebody a woman or saying that a woman is this way, the same thing. A male is going to have to take on those different responsibilities or do the same thing in the end, or if they're going to struggle if they become a single parent father, or if their spouse was to die or leave.
True.
A great example of that, I mean, as far as me and my wife are concerned, I would do anything for my wife as long as she, or I know that she can do it herself. I'll do anything for my wife as long as I know she can do it herself. If my wife cannot do it herself, we will go through a process of her learning how to do it until she can do it herself, and then and only then that I will do that thing for her, whether it's getting her her oil changed or just going through the process of getting someone to find someone to get their oil changed or what have you. All those things I will do for my wife, but I will only do them when I know and understand that she can do them herself.
Because that's a good point. I like that.
For one thing, I think the worst thing that a man, a quote-unquote man, can do for a woman is make her dependent of him. I know we have times where, or people have times where they have pride and they want to feel needed or what have you, but the worst thing you can do is call someone to depend on you, because at one point in time in a relationship, you are going to be gone, whether it's through death or divorce. And I would hate for me to leave, either through death or divorce, a person that I quote-unquote love, and leave them stranded or wondering how in the world am I going to survive because I left. With that being said, I don't think there's a definition of how to be a man. I think there's a definition of how to be an upstanding citizen. I don't raise my children as far as my daughter and son are concerned any differently, because I'm just raising them to be upstanding citizens. Outside of me telling my son that, okay, when you pee, you're supposed to stand up, and my daughter showing her that she's supposed to sit down when she goes to the bathroom, I don't raise them any differently. I'll stop right there, because I can go on and on about this subject. I'm really glad that you all brought this subject to to the panel, because I think it's an issue, and it actually causes a lot of controversy and controversy, division, as well as poor communication when it comes to the male and female gender. So I'm actually interested to see what it is that other people have to say on the panel about the topic.
That's great. I mean that was definitely a great way to put it, brother. I'm gonna turn to you right now to my man, Darryl. because now, first of all, for those who are just checking out the show, the Man Up Talk Show, the topic is around definition of man. It's different ways we look at it from different avenues. Brother Dow, why don't you tell our audience, first of all, who you are, what you do for the city of Orange, you know, some of the stuff that you do, and then kind of elaborate on that that topic there, and then we're going to spin it over to Dewan.
Okay. My name is Darrell Harrington, as you already said. Now, basically, I am a community activist. I'm also a community organizer. I'm a youth advocate. This is a subject that's very near and dear to my heart. When it comes down to being a man, there are certain things that, not saying it's not important for a female, but there are certain things that are identifying marks in a man. It is the reason why we were created. A man is supposed to be accountable, responsible, dependable, above all else. That is something that we are supposed to be reared to do, something that is distinctive in us from the time that we're little boys. And this is supposed to be something that is cultivated in us as we mature into grown men. Now, there have been, like I said, we can go on and on for hours, but there are things that have, let's say, not been done with this generation of young man that was done in my generation. You know, me and you, we grew up together. So
yes.
We came up at the same time, same place. You know, we had, you know, whether, you know, some of us had our dads in the house. Some of us didn't. But we did have male role models. We had grandfathers. We had uncles. We had cousins. We had older brothers who pretty much laid down the law. This is what we do. This is how we do it. This is why we do it. We had discipline. Now, as we matured, and I'm not saying us, me and you specifically, but I'm saying our generation as a whole, when we raised our kids, we really didn't raise them. We, you know, some of us hooked up with some females, did what we did, got caught in a situation. Instead of being there for the child, you know, child support is coming. Here, this is coming out my check. There you go. And you deal with what you need to deal with. You know, I'll see you like birthday time, maybe Christmas time, you know, a couple of the times in between, but didn't take an active participating role in raising our young men. Thus, okay, to try to make a little small analogy, a cat cannot raise a dog to be a dog. It's, you know, a cat doesn't know anything about a dog being a dog. He knows what a dog does, but doesn't know why a dog instinctively does what it does. Same thing with a woman and a young man. A woman knows what men do, but do not know instinctively why we do the things that we do. We could check it with each other all day about what we do, how we do, the way we do, and we have an understanding instinctively of what we come about naturally. It's what we naturally do. We could relate this to young boys because we understand what we do. We understand our feelings, our emotions, how we go about dealing with things, which is different than females. It's just different. It's not right or wrong. It's just different. We're all created differently. I say the same thing with a man raising a young woman. There's certain things that we can share with them from our knowledge and our experiences, but there's some things that we're just never going to get because we're not women.
True. True. Good day to put it, brother. Good day to put it. Brother Dewan, just from your perspective, man, you know, you're a hardworking brother. You've been in this, around the system, in the system. Give us your perspective. I mean, from the everyday Joe that works hard.
Everyday Joe that works hard, my opinion, as a man. I heard the first guy say that he don't see no definition of a man out here. Do he see himself as a man? I don't think he saw himself as a man, saying he don't see no definition as a man out here. But my opinion is, my definition of man is, look, I respect my woman, respect my kids. I respect women as I pass by and going. I respect women as I work with. I respect my woman. I mean, women have their ways of their emotions always getting the best of them. saying things they really don't mean to say, but sometimes you can cut the soul without taking nothing back, you know. Some men just flip from that. All depends on what kind of man you is. Because I've been raised in a house with no father and some moms, me and my brother. I had a sister went both ways, but I was in that path that they went. Now I went to the path of cancer I wanted to go to. And
okay.
Definition and beating a woman just to get a point across don't prove nothing. That proves to me that you were just a coward with big biceps and six packs and what, nice looks and nice face. You ain't doing nothing but just hurting yourself. And then when the next man step inside, you'll see what real man he really is.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that, man, we just got to give our brothers the chance, yo. We do wicked things. We give our brothers a chance. It all depends on where you raise that, too. If you raise
okay.
in the hood, you're going to have hood problems. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to look out the box. If you want something good, just look out the box. It ain't about what color, what race you from, or what land you from. Yo, if it's going to work for you, work for you. You be the best man you can with any race you mess with. You see what I'm saying?
I like that right there. I like that, brother. I mean, you may want to repeat that right there. Doing the best you can.
Yo, if you can do the best you can, and no matter what race you in, yo, you be the man that you is, no matter what race you're. You're gonna be black, white, avatar, blue. It don't care.
Avatar blue.
Be the man who you are, man. Don't care what people say. People gonna talk crap about you regardless if you got it, if you don't. People wanna have something just to break you down, man. If you're not strong, yo, you're gonna get broke down, yo. How many dudes got broke down by a bitter woman? You shouldn't stand up no more about what no nigga say. Because no cat better be a real cat. A real cat going to say, look, man, I don't want to hear that negative shit. If something go down, man, I'm going to ride with you. I don't want to hear nothing negative, man. I just want to hear something positive. If you're going to do something negative, you riding dirty, yo, let me know from the door I want to ride with you, man. You know what I'm saying? That's a real
okay.
It's like as a real woman. Look, girl, I don't want to get caught up in nothing that you're doing. I don't want to hear nothing that you're saying. I like this guy. You introduced me. First impression, he was nice. I don't want to hear nothing going behind closed doors. That's your problem. Y'all handle that. I don't want to hear nothing negative. That's a real friend. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Just hang around. There's too many sucker free niggas out here, man. And it's hard to stay sucker free. You just got to be strong in yourself, man. Be your own man. You is God. Who you are. You see what I'm saying?
Okay. That's what's up. I mean, that's just real talk. I mean, you know, I'm glad that we have, you know, Brother Dow, Devon, and, of course, my brother, Eddie, we do it every week. You know, I like to hear, and I'm pretty sure Eddie can agree to that, hearing different opinions, different views, but it basically came down to the same point that, you know, there's no real definition as individuals. And I think Dewan brought up a good point because how we grew up, and also Darrell brought up a good point, in the areas that we grew up, we sometimes had to learn trial by error of what manhood was. There was no book. There was no script. You know, there was nothing written out saying, "Hey, look, this is what manhood's about." You can have a father in your home, in the house. Does not mean he's being the man for you or teach you no
things. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, you know, listen, I'm not taking away from no fathers that's in the home, and they think they're doing the right thing. You could be in the home and still be an absentee father. You could still be putting food on the table and still be the absentee father. You can still be a husband. Excuse me, let me say this again. You can still be married and not a husband. Let me say it like that.
Right.
And being in the home. You know, it takes a lot. I mean, and as an individual, you should want to do the right thing for your family, for your wife, your girlfriend, if you decide to have one, and right by your kids without a script. And I think those are just part of the equations of what manhood should be. I mean, you know, when I say manhood, because I hear women, oh, you ain't a man. You know, not that's going to move me, anything like that, or any other brother that's on the panel. you know, then I look at the person, like, you know, how do you know what a man is? Where you grew up or where you've seen your father or the person that you look up to grew up different from another person. You don't know the struggle. So everybody's different. I mean, Eddie, what do you think, brother? Brother Eddie, you online?
Well, let me take that one, if you don't mind.
Okay. I said, I apologize. I'm here. I'm definitely here. I have my phone muted. I'm just sitting, waiting, and allowing everybody to speak. I'm sitting here taking notes. I'm ready to go in whenever you all are.
I think Brother Dow want to go. He want to attack that one. What you got, bro?
All right, here we go. All right, when we're first born, we don't have a conception of God or anything of that nature. We just know what we see, what surrounds us. We know our environment. That normal, that definition of a woman is your mother. The definition of a man is your father. What they do, you do. What the other one does, you are affected by. This is how we come up. We identify by what we see early on, very early in life. As we grow older, we identify with the things that liken to us. Now, that's all environment. That's, you know, where you came up, you know, where you're from, you know, what you enjoy, things of that nature. You look at, you know, this brother right here, that's my man. I like that dude. Me and him are a lot alike. We gravitate to one another. You know, we run the same streets. We do the same thing, whether it be positive, whether it be negative. You know, we do what we do as we're coming up. We have a tendency to take from one another. We share with one another ideas, philosophies, things of that nature. But I also believe that we need to be more dutiful as men on when we raise our sons, to be more mindful of, okay, it's not just what I tell you to do. I could tell you don't smoke. Smoking is not good for you. But you see me smoke 2 packs a day. Which one is going to resonate more with me if I'm a child?
You're contradicting yourself.
Exactly. You follow. But if I tell you don't smoke, smoking is a disgusting habit, and you never saw me pick up a cigarette, that's going to resonate with you, not only by my words, but by my actions.
Exactly.
That thing of do what I say and not as I do, that doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
That don't work anymore.
They'll stand up until you think they know better. But if you know better, you do better.
Exactly. So, I mean, we need to be the example that we're setting.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
You know, I mean, like I said, I could tell you to do X, Y, and Z at LMNOP, but if I'm not doing it myself, how do I tell you, you know, stick my nose in what you're doing and telling you you're doing it all wrong, you should do this instead of that? Meanwhile, I'm doing the exact opposite thing. Nah, man, it don't work that way.
I agree. No doubt.
Now, a child's not going to come out and call you on it. Some children will. Some will go, all right, you know, they'll turn it off in their ear and turn the other direction because, you know, they feel that, you're just running some game on them. You know, we have to start being real. We need to start getting hands-on. We need to start rolling up our sleeves.
We need to start being hard, tough love.
Yes, absolutely.
When I say tough love, I mean tough love. No beer, no punk parent, no yellow back. No such thing as yellow.
Okay, brother Eddie. I know you got something to comment on this one, brother. I mean, it appears that the brothers are passionate about this topic, and I know that you're passionate about the topic as well.
I'm passionate about any topic. I'm just waiting. I'm over here brewing. it's a great I would say dialogue for people. Can't say trilogue. I guess quadrilogue. Everybody sharing their passionate opinions, and a lot of stuff sound good, but I'm also hearing a lot of us talking around things and contradicting ourselves. And so I'm gonna start from the top.
Let's go.
I heard that a man should be accountable, responsible, and dependable. Those things are define a man, and that's how we were created. But that is the implication that women aren't supposed to be accountable, responsible, and dependable, which is why I go right back to the whole It's an individual thing. It has nothing to do with gender. Every person in the world should be accountable, responsible, and dependable. Someone stated, I'm sorry?
I just said exactly.
He said exactly.
Okay. So everyone should be that, and that's what I meant by I don't raise my daughter any differently. Now I heard an analogy of a cat can't raise a dog. They're just different, implying that a woman can't raise a man and a man cannot raise a woman. First and foremost, the people that are clearly complaining are the women. We're not walking around saying, "Dang, man, there's no good men around as men." Women are saying that. So clearly they have in their mind what a good man is supposed to look like. And clearly us as quote-unquote men, we're not reflecting or responding to or being reflections of what that is. So therefore, if we don't listen to what they're saying, if we don't let the water roll off our back like ducks, then we're not making any change for us all to come together as a unit, because I think that was biblical, and that's what we're supposed to be coming together to be as one unit. A woman raising a man, I am a product of that. It's great that you guys have had mentors and all that stuff like that, but I did not have uncles and all those, or Boys Club or Boy Scouts or what have you. We could not afford that. My mother raised me. Every single year, I buy my mother a Father's Day and a Mother's Day card. Matter of fact, it's interesting that it's more difficult for me to find her a Mother's Day card than it is for me to find her a Father's Day card, because my mother has been more of a father to me than she was a mother. And personally, I think who better to teach a man how to be a man than a female, because she's preparing that male to be with a woman. Same thing with a daggone man. And we wonder why, our women don't know how to, quote-unquote, treat us or what have you, is because they probably didn't have a man in their life to show them how to treat or make a male feel whatever, like just wonderful or valuable or what have you. It was another statement being said. First of all, well, probably second of all, I'm not sure where I'm at on this list, but we said that no man or no person in the world thinks that they're a bad male or female. So we need to keep that in mind. So no one's walking around intentionally being a bad person. So they are doing the best that they can, as far as their knowledge of what they can do outside of just being naturally selfish. And with that being said, you brought up the time frame that you all were raised. I personally think that had a lot to do with how we ended up. What do I mean by that? At the time that you all were raised, the male was the main worker. The male was the person that provided, and the female was the one that stayed home and cooked or what have you, correct? Right or wrong? Please correct me if I'm wrong before I go into this point.
In some instances, no. It depends on the family unit. My family unit, both of my parents worked.
Both your parents, okay.
And my father worked.
All right, great. But for the most part, back in the day, the male was the one who did all the working, or the majority of the working or what have you. So with that being said, if we are telling our children to watch the male to figure out what a man is supposed to do, what the boy has just learned is that the male is supposed to be gone all the time and then come home and his stuff will be taken care of as far as bills are concerned. They learn nothing about accountability. They learn nothing about responsibility. Dependability through that example. Unless that father is in that house and explaining and bringing clarity to what those things that you guys describe mean. Just to see a person gone and come back and then stuff is taken care of, all that does is, like most children think, is that, okay, these bills don't, you don't have to pay money for these bills, which is why parents say stuff like money doesn't grow on trees. What do you think money does grow on trees? They just think that everything is, it just is. Until that father takes the time, or us men take the time to go out in the community and show these boys what spending time with each other is about, and explaining the different steps behind why we work and why we respect our women, or why we speak to people in this or that way, they won't understand. The problem is not necessarily what they see, it's how they're interpreting it, because they're not being taught how to understand. And if we're just sitting here working and having these dialogues, which is another thing we saw that was said, that men, we know, I mean, we're just different. We know how we feel, yet no one has yet to explain what different things that we feel or we do, because no one can define that. You just, men know. Men understand. That is BS. Females don't have their secret feelings or whatever. People just don't know how to explain how they feel individually because they have yet to find themselves. So until we understand and know ourselves as individuals, we can't even duplicate ourselves, let alone duplicate a gender or race or just being people or respectable citizens, period.
Well, one, we're dealing in generalities. That's one. But just to deal in generalities, most men, not all men, most men do not articulate how they feel.
You don't even know most men.
This going to get too serious.
Okay, so you're basically saying that most men do, according to you, know how to generalize how they feel. They normally are very expressive of how they feel. Most men that you know.
No,
that's what you're saying.
That's not what I'm saying.
Well,
no,
then,
I'm not saying
what
that.
What are you saying then?
I said we as people have a difficult time explaining for what it is that we like or why we do things or what have you. There's no special man code as to how to talk or how to walk.
Nobody's
or whatever.
Saying that there is a man code. Nobody's saying anything about a man code. There was
an implication earlier when he said when we, and it came from, feel free to listen to the recording later on when we were smoking. The analogy was cats can raise a
right.
Cats can't raise a dog. They're just different. It was said that women
males are
have
different
this
than
thing.
Females. You wouldn't say that emotionally, physically. Men and women are different. You wouldn't say that. You wouldn't say that.
I will say physically. I will not say. I won't say emotionally that men and women are different. No, I wouldn't say that. I say physically, yes, which is why I said my son has to stand up when he pees. But emotionally, no, I do not think that men and women are different. I think that society trains them to be different, and people conform to how they were trained. But I do not believe that men and women are different emotionally. No, I do not.
Yeah, man, men and women are differently, man. Do you look in the mirror?
Okay, explain it. Explain it then, please. That's the whole point of this show. We're talking about defining a man. So define to the world, the people that are listening, define what's different between the male and the female. We'll wait. We are all listening. It's a talk show.
And this is what we want. This is
good
dialogue.
I'm,
let's go.
Listen. I'm going to explain it to you right now. I'm going to let Venus. I'm going to be Mars. I'm
going
to
shut up. Go ahead, Venus.
Hi,
no, 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 no. We want to hear the difference. This is what the dialogue is all about. Because not
only that's what we want to hear.
That's what we want to hear. I want to hear your point of view, definitely.
Okay, listen. Your emotions is totally different from your woman emotions, man. It's totally, totally different. You feel
and
that
that's
way
because opposites attract.
Okay, listen. You, darn. My opinion, I'm just speaking my opinion, DeJuan's opinion. You was raised in a household by a woman, and you see that woman as a queen, exactly. Women are supposed to be queens. Yes, they
absolutely
are. You see that as a queen. You see that as a queen. You know, you see your woman as that. You see your mama as that queen. And every woman you see as that, and your mom treat you as a young man, as a push, as a teen growing up, she treated you that way. So every woman you're going to see, every woman you be with, you're going to treat her that way. So you're going to feel emotions just like that woman. So when you speak to me, my opinion again, you speak and you shift your anger, then you speak emotionally and passionately and nurturally, and then you get angry again. You, it seems like you don't want nobody to speak, you want to speak over them. That's just my opinion.
I am so lost at what you just said.
I can better elaborate on that. I think Dewan was basically trying to bring was he is saying that the way you grew up, you know, with your moms, you grew up under what you seen from her and how she taught you and what you should be as a man. So you grew up under those perimeters. And what Dewan is saying is that he grew up in a different environment that made him, you know, the man who he is. And it's different. And I think Darryl is also saying the same thing. Because if I'm saying this right, Darryl, please correct me. Mm. He's saying that he feels that as men, we have a bigger responsibility to teach our men to be, our young boys to be men. Because the way we grew up in that environment. And, you know, Brother Eddie, I see your point of view. You're saying as individuals, there's no classification to men.
Actually, by that statement, that is evidence that what I'm saying is an individual thing. Listen to what you guys are saying out loud to yourselves. His statement is men and women are different. And then you fall back on, well, you were raised by a woman, so that's the way that you think or you feel. That's the way everybody thinks and everybody feels as individuals because everyone has their own individual experiences. So how does this go back to male and female? It does not. It goes to individual, and this is the problem. So when you teach someone or you're on the air saying that men are a certain way and men, we have responsibilities as whatever that are different than women, and you cannot define, which is the original question, we're still waiting, what's the difference between a male? At least give me that. I mean, our argument is that we can't speak for the females right now. Let the world know how men are. What are men like? How are we defining men? You cannot do it. That's why you're getting frustrated and you got rebuttals and you taking stuff back and saying that, well, it's not a majority thing and, well, you were raised by women, so your emotions are different, yet you just said that females are emotionally different and females are different, yet you went right back to saying that, well, it's because you were raised a different way. If men were built a certain way and our emotions are going to come out a certain way and a female are built a certain way and their emotions are going to come out a certain way, it wouldn't matter what environment you bring them in because they were created, like you said earlier, to be a certain way. So if you're created, you would just fall into whatever it is that you are. You can't be, you wouldn't be dictated by, or the way that you act would not be dictated by how you were raised or your environment or anything because
let me deal with that right there. Okay.
Yeah,
you
please.
Could be born with a certain talent, whether it be to sing, art, literature, math, a mathematician, a scientist. You have a certain level of talent, God-given ability to do something. Now, it is through environment, the way that you raise, education, nurturing, and whether you enhance what you're given to make it productive and to elevate it to a certain level, or you never do anything to elevate it at all, and you don't use it. And you know what they say about people who don't use something? They lose it. So, yes, we're all born to do, as far as males. Most men. I can't say all men.
Yeah.
I'll
why
say
can't
most
you
men.
If males are males? Why can't you? If there's a definition of men,
show. All right. Okay, wait.
That we still have yet to go to attack. We should name this men undefined because that's what the radio listeners are going to end up leaving with because they still don't know what the hell men are right now, and we're still trying to figure out what that is yet. Everybody is saying how men are different than women are, but no one has yet to figure out how the hell we're different, so we're still waiting on this. I'm with the audience. The audience, please call in. Have y'all learned anything about men yet? Because I sure as hell haven't.
Well, I mean, that's the whole point. I mean, because this type of dialogue, when you seek definition of man, this is exactly why the topic I brought up, because I've heard so many different people have the same similar debates,
heated arguments, just challenges. What is there such a definition? I mean, I think at this point, gentlemen, we can agree to disagree, because we all have our own perspective. I mean, what Eddie says, that's where he looks at it, and he looks at it from a logical standpoint. And it all comes back to the same thing about us being individuals, because at the end of the day, we are individuals. I can see the points of Daryl for the environment. I can see the point of DeJuan. You know, and I think, honestly, at the end of the day, excuse the term when I say that, it just sounds like there's no real definition. But I think as men, we have to be more accountable as men to step up and do what we're supposed to do to kill these perceptions and stereotypes that these women like. Brother, going back to Brother Eddie, I'm kind of borrowing one of your techniques, Eddie. Going back to what you said earlier, it's not the men talking about men. It's the women talking about our men out here. So if we can kind of kill those stereotypes and do more positive stuff as men, maybe we can get some of those negative conversations taken away. I mean, if I'm saying it correctly, I mean, does that make any sense, gentlemen, or...
I mean, you hit the nail on the head in the sense that it's not defining what male and females are. It's figuring out how the hell us males got lost in being influential in the world. Period.
I agree. Guys, you agree with that, right?
I'm not talking for people to agree with me. I'm talking real stuff right now. I'm not interested in anybody agreeing with me. This is straight up true. Why in the hell did we take the back seat on life and allow everyone else to step up? Whether it's not even the women, Caucasian people, Chinese people, all these people just stepping up and doing everybody's job. But it's showing that we're not doing our job, and that's where the problem is. So we need to figure out, stop tripping over this male and female thing, and just as individuals say that, yo, we need to take responsibility for our communities, for our children, and we need to start showing our face. We're like the least. The least gender wise, when it comes to outreach and community stuff, we're the least in our churches. We are the lowest number of gender in pretty much anything that's positive. Outside of politics, but we sure as hell know that's not positive either. That's what we need to be focusing on. What in the world? What can we do to start bettering our community and making our faces known so that people can identify and say, okay, not necessarily that's a good man, but that's what I would aspire to be like. That is somebody that, you know what, they made a difference in my life. That's a person that's not my father, but he sure as hell got me on the right track because I sure was slipping. And that is people who are people of their word and accountable and responsible and dependable, and those who can sit down with these children like I do on a weekly basis and explain what it is that I do, why I do it, why it's important, what the results are, and what it is that I am doing or not doing. And the same with our children, to take that time and stop saying, well, are you paying for the bill? Then don't worry about how much it costs. And actually breaking down how much it costs so they can appreciate, oh, well, damn, I didn't know it cost that much. Maybe they'll turn off a light behind themselves so they can know that eventually they're going to have to pay bills and stuff like that. Just starting to plant those different seeds so they can understand what responsibility is, as opposed to doing everything for them, thinking that we are being men because we're quote-unquote providing, and we're not really providing them with the tools that they need to be quote-unquote men when they grow up later on in life.
I hear you on that one. I mean, I'm going to speak from a perspective that maybe some of our other listeners, I just got a text from Rick City 911. He's like, keep it going, grace of God, stay focused. So that's from the big shout out to North Police listening to the show. From a perspective, I can only speak from where I'm from. And that's only my opinion from my experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that a lot of our young black males, and I say it like that, I think that we target, me personally, I try to target what's weak in with our males, that's our young black males, because it's just staggering how so many young black males are lost out here. So that's why me personally, and along with some other brothers that I know, like yourself, Brother Eddie, and Brother Dow, and of course my man Juan, a couple other brothers who's out here in the struggle trying to make a difference, we target those. We say, listen, man, put your pants up. Listen, man, you know, you try to do this. We try to talk to them in a way that they can understand. So we try to reach them. So I think that as men, we only speak as men. That's why we targeted our young men. Not that we look at women and men, individuals. We just look at men, young men. So that's why we target, because we see, okay, there's a weakness here. How can we get that weakness built upon? That's what I personally do. I try to go after our young black males, because I say, you know what, they need help, and I'm going to try to help them. Now, just case in point, my daughter had my son. I mean, my grandson, excuse me. My daughter had my grandson. Her boyfriend, fiance, whatever, he told my daughter and my missus that, told him, listen, I'm gonna raise my son to be the best man possible. I'm going to give him what I didn't have. He was coming from a place that he was lacking. He didn't have in his life. And I could relate to that, and I seen him. He dropped a tear, and he was serious about that. And he said, I want to make him the best man. He didn't say individual, because he was coming from a place that he knew that he was weak in. So that's why he was talking about it. And I think that's what DeJuan was trying to convey, because we both grew up in St. Louis. DeJuan, Daryl, much like a lot of brothers, 9/11, I hear you. 9/11 said same here. He's following. And that's all we're trying to say. That's all I'm personally trying to say from my opinion. I got to speak about men. I know that women and men are individuals, but me personally, it means a lot to me to try to reach out to our young black males. So I'm a target more. I really don't have the tools. I can raise my daughter. I can do the best that I can to raise her to be a woman. But I have more experiences in trying to raise my son to be a better man for the stuff that I was lacking, to make him better than who I am. So that's why I target that. That's why I talk more, me personally, about males.
Okay, well, can I chime in on that?
Absolutely. I target
all people with the mindset of all those people responding to each other. Great example. The way I raised my daughter is in a manner that I think I spoke last week, that for one, I wanted it to be difficult for any male to just pursue her or woo her per se. Of course, we had a date day yesterday where it was just her and I, and just today I had a meeting, so I was in a rush. I was in a rush to go to the meeting, and I was running a little late. So when I got her to my mother's house to drop her off for this meeting, I told her which door I was going out of because I was in a rush, and opened up my door and walked towards my mother's step. I looked back, and I'm like, come on. She said, my door stopped me in my tracks. She said, men are supposed to open up the door for women. You taught me that. So I had to backtrack. I said, you know what? You're right. And come and open up my daughter's door from where I taught her. She just corrected a man on what a man is supposed to do because of what me, her father, taught her. I'm the one that's been teaching my daughter that men are supposed to open up the door for her in regards to being respectable and just being considerate of her and being attentive towards her when she comes up. So there's been times where my daughter runs past me and when she gets off of her bus, off the bus stop, I might decide to put the trash in the backyard before we go into the house, and she will stand there at the door, or she'll stop me and say, Dad, could you do the trash afterwards? I have to pee, meaning I am not going to touch this door when there's a man in front of me, even if I have to pee, because it is your job as a man, because you taught me this. I hope you guys are catching this. You taught me this. So I am not to touch this door until I pee. I mean, almost having to pee on stuff. No problem, Naja. I will open up the door for you so that you can go to the bathroom. I appreciate you waiting on the door. Now, when we go out on dates nowadays, because we're not teaching daughters about chivalry and stuff like that, daughters about chivalry and stuff like that, as men and as females, both can do it. When you open up a door, if you can get to the door before the female, when you open up the door, that second damn door, she's still going to grab. Because she has yet to learn how to be treated as a woman should be treated by a man, or just making herself feel good. Just now those things are the things that I alter when it comes to how I raise my daughter. Now, my son, I make him get the door, so she will wait on him to get the door if her mom and him are together. These are things that you can do to, for one, not to make sure that your daughter looks at a hood or a trifling dude crazy when she does start dating, and two, to raise her to respect herself and to be looked at as a queen, like we said earlier. Now, these are things that my mother taught me. So she is the one that taught me to be respectable, dependable, and all that stuff that we're saying that men should be. Just because she took the time and explained and showed me that, okay, you're walking on the street. The woman is not supposed to be on the roadside of the street. You move her in. You take that hit from the car. So that is something that I will immediately do because my mother taught me that. This is stuff that we need to do. Take the time to teach our children how to be dependable, respectable, and to bring chivalry back and to be our children's conscience. That is our job. We can be their conscience, not just doing stuff, but doing stuff with a purpose, understanding why we do it, and being able to share why we do it so that it can be duplicatable in these children that we're raising. It has nothing to do with gender. Now, again, my whole point in me raising my daughter the way that she is so that she will not just be bringing out some guy. That's why I take her out on dates. My daughter's 6 years old. I take her out to see the moon set. I take her out and hold her hand. I take her out and push her seat in so that this is what she expects when she's with another guy. No dude can tell her she's beautiful more than I do. No guy will tell any of the dudes that I mentor that I'm proud of them more than I do, or that, you know what, that's a good job, or man, you got good grades here. Let me hit you off with some money, just so I show you that I told you that you could do it. Not that I'm gonna bribe you to get good grades, but you didn't even know that you was about to get this for what you did. You did the right thing. I'm proud of you. I saw your grades step up. This is why you need to work on your grades, because of this. We don't do that. We just say, get your grades up. But if you can sit down and explain to these people, that's when change comes into play. Again, nothing to do with male or female. And a guy can raise a girl just as good as a girl can raise a guy. But go ahead.
Well, I mean, you know, I hear what you – I mean, I definitely hear you, brother. I mean, my thing is also – I know we talk about definitely raising our children, but there's no guarantee that they're going to turn out to where you can go through the whole – you know, expectation, this is what I want you to do, this is what, you know, I'm going to teach you how to, what a man should be for the woman as well for your son, but they may not turn out to be that way. And unfortunately, sometimes we have a lot of our men that learn as they get older. And I'll be the first one to say it myself. I'm continuing learning to be a better man. I'm not saying I'm perfect because I'm not by a long shot, but I'm continuing learning how to be a better man. And I think that we have a lot of men in our society that They're trying to become better men. They may not have the tools. They may not have the people, the mentors. I'm talking about older men in their 20s,
right.
30s, 40s, 50s. Yeah. You know, they may not have those tools. They may not know that because they grew up in an environment with negative all the time. Yeah. And I think that we need, as men, and to be with what you're saying, Eddie, and also what the brothers are saying, we have to find a way. We may not just be the answer, but we could damn sure be a part of the solution. Maybe we need to find a way to help educate and make our men better men,
mm-hmm.
out here.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many men out here. I mean, it just drives me crazy. You have grown-ass men that they act worse than 12-year-olds.
And it's not that they don't want to become better men. It's just they don't know how. And how do we work together to help these men? These men become better men.
Nas, I'm so glad you said what you said, and that's perfect, because in the end, we don't know how they're going to end up, but our jobs are to plant seeds. Our jobs are to plant seeds. That is it. Our jobs are to plant seeds, not nourish the seeds and necessarily see a harvest. Our job is to plant the seeds so that we know that we did what we were supposed to do. So how they end up is solely dependent on them. But whether we had a role in it or whether we contributed to a possible outcome, meaning the better side of it, is based on whether we plant seeds. I don't plant seeds and necessarily look for a harvest, because, for one, that's going to cause frustration, especially as a mentor of children. But you said something that really sticks out to me, which is something that I teach my mentors, and that's why I'm stressing about planting seeds. Even today, I don't know how old any of us are on this phone, but I can guarantee we're still saying to ourselves, oh, that's what my mother meant when she said this, or, oh, that's what my father meant when he said this, or, oh, that's what my uncle said when he said this. And it's not about getting the harvest, it's planting the seed. That means that seed was planted. It just took a while for you, being the individual that you are, for that seed to harvest. It doesn't matter. It's not your job to watch the harvest grow. It's to plant the seed. That is our job. That's our only job. What they do is on them, but after that, we won't feel bad or question what we did as parents, because we dropped the ball. We know we did what we were supposed to do. We use our time the way that we were supposed to do it. So with that being said, please don't misconstrue what I was saying in regards to what I do. I'm not doing it with the mentality of this is what's going to happen after, but it's a greater possibility that this can happen if I take the time to plant these seeds right now, as opposed to never doing them at all, or waiting until they've grown a habit that is terrible to try to instill it in them afterward. So we are to plant seeds. That's it. As parents, as mentors, as counselors, or whatever, we are to plant seeds, not necessarily sit down, work on the dirt, and try to make the thing grow and pour water on it. Sometimes we're supposed to plant the seed for others too. Matter of fact, great example. I guarantee anybody that's on deck on phone, you got children. If you have children, you've told your son or your daughter something, I don't know how many daggone times, about something or the importance of something, and then somebody else says the same damn thing that's not you, and they're like, oh, I get it now. You're like, what the hell? What you mean you get it now? I'm the one that's I've been telling you this for years. But now, because Michael Jordan said whatever, now it makes damn sense, because it was your job to plant the seed. It was not your job to nourish the seed. It was your job to just plant it. So you keep on planting, man. Stop looking for a harvest. Just know that you're doing your job as a seed planter, or spreading the gospel, or whatever it is that you're supposed to be doing as a person that is sending out messages or seeds in the world. That's it. Because you never know. You might be that one that is in the grave, and people coming up to them, and they're like, how do you know? I can't explain, but this person changed my life. You don't know what you did in the world. That's why you're supposed to be always on your mess, man, doing your thing right. Whether it's a white person or a black person doing the right thing, that black person might see you doing that to a white person and just tug in their heart and say, well, that's the right thing that you're supposed to do. So if we do that to all people, man, we have no choice but to change the world and change people's viewpoints and perspectives on the world, so that they'll just be better people, period.
I agree. Brother Darryl, let me turn this over to you. You work in the community as well.
Yes, sir.
Now, you know, I gotta ride that, you know, planting the seed part of it. Does it make a difference in how you carry yourself that other young men or young women as well look up to you? You have to maintain who you are in the community. Does that make a difference?
Absolutely. We have to always be mindful and be vigilant of keeping it real. You know, you live your sermon. Let your life be your testimony, or whatever term you want to use. You have to be genuine. A a child knows when you are being earnest and when you're being sincere.
True.
And when you're not. You know, you're doing this for form or fashion, or you're doing this out of the fact that, hey, there's something in you that either reminds me of myself, or there's something in you that I like, that I identify with. These are the mistakes that I made. I don't want to see you make these mistakes. Or this is an area that you're going into that's not going to get you the result that you're looking for. So let me help you get to where you want to be. It's always easier. You can always ask somebody who's never been somewhere how to get somewhere, and they might give you the right directions or they might not. But it's more likely that you will get to your destination when you ask someone who's either been there or who is there.
Interesting. Now, I'm glad you said something that kind of struck a nerve. And guys, tell me, everybody can probably agree to this. Why is it our young people, let's say, let's look at an age range, maybe early teens to teenagers. They can tell, for whatever it is, no matter, you have a suit, tie on, and you're coming with the Bible, and I mean, however you're presenting yourself,
right.
For some reason or another, today's youth can see through the bullshit, see through the BS. How come they can see through the BS? They can tell if you're genuine now when you're trying to help them, and they can tell those the phony from the fake. I mean, just from you guys' different perspective, DeJuan. You know, I know you've been around a couple people that said, listen, man, I'm only messing with him because he's real, or I'm not talking to him because he's phony. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, just for your experiences, I mean, just real quick, DeJuan, have you experienced that yourself when you're trying to talk to a younger person and they can tell if you're real or not?
Yeah, it's how you approach them, man. They just look at your aura, how you talk to them, you know? If you come at it with, in my opinion, they see you come with a suit and tie, they're going to see you as... And this is some bull. You're going to see a negative vibe first. It's how you approach it, you know? I mean...
Okay.
Where I'm from, where I was raised at, my church, for example, I've seen a lot of bad things, but I kept it to myself and never spread it out. That's between me. But whatever, I don't point every person out in that church as that person that I've seen this and that. So I go by that individual. You see, and I approach that individual totally differently. Totally different, you know. Like a young guy in my hood, if he doing something out the way that's not ordinary, disrespectful, he anger, man, he angry at that moment, I'm not gonna approach him. I'm not gonna do
okay.
that. He's angry right now. His mind is all conflicted and messed up. I'm gonna just keep it going. Somebody else
okay.
can approach
him. Well, I'm glad you said that, DeJuan, because I mean, you said it, when you see a guy, you grew up in an environment, basically, when you see a gentleman with a suit and tie coming at you, you're apprehensive. I mean, so definitely it's the environment that played a part, as it sounds like, with you. You know, whereas you can still have the same brother with that suit and tie, he could have been the most realest person from the same hood. He just decided to change up who he was. I mean, so I see your point of view, but at the same time, I think that, you know, our young people, for whatever reason, I'm not disagreeing with you and how you look at it. I definitely see that a person is how they present themselves, no matter what they wear,
exactly.
You know,
how
they present themselves. So I do understand that point of view. What about you, Darryl, and Brother Eddie?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, kids genuinely, I believe, feel when somebody has earnestly, you know, I mean, it's not about something specific that they're able to do. It's not about something that they're into or something that you're into and you're just interested in that. You're interested in how they are, how's school, how are you feeling, you know, what's going on in your world. I honestly care about you, the individual. And they pick up on that. They could tell where, okay, you just like me because I got a ball. You're just one of them just latching on to me because you think that I'm going somewhere. So, you know, you're just a mark. I understand what you're into me for. And there's a difference between that and someone who, yeah, you can play basketball, but you can blow out your knee tomorrow. What's your backup plan? Let's talk about your education. You know, let's talk about, you know, you getting a J-O-B. You know, let's deal with, you know, some real-life stuff. And, you know, you could tell with somebody who's actually in it for you. So, I mean, like I said, kids are very, you know, they're very intuitive about what's going on in society as far as how it directly relates to them. Yeah, I mean,
okay,
sometimes there's some mistrust based upon the fact, you know, I don't know you, so why are you so interested in my life?
Exactly.
You know,
okay.
So there is some mistrust there. But the whole thing is there, is that if you're really dedicated and you're really about it, I'm here. I'm here today.
Okay.
I'm going to be here tomorrow.
You'll
I'm
going to
be here next week.
Exactly.
I'm consistent. Oh. I'm keeping it real. This is who
exactly.
I am.
Exactly.
This is who
okay.
I am. I'm here.
Now the reason why I ask that question, because, you know, we talk about, you know, trying to, I guess, define and make a better, I guess, a better environment for our young men to become better men. That's why I kind of presented the question when you kind of brought that out. Brother Eddie, I mean, I know you've been following it. That's why I ask, because you do a lot of mentoring, and a lot of your young men can relate to you once you break it, after you break it down. But why do they trust you so much? Why do they trust you so much?
There's several things. One, with children, first of all, that's why I love children. I love children because children have yet to be conformed by the society in this whole politically correct thing. So children are honest for the most part all the time. First of all, if there's any guy that wants to join forces and become a mentor or what have you with me, they have to be in my boy's presence for at least a month or two before they can even say anything to them in regards to building themselves up or being or whatever. And the reason why I say it is because so many people are so passionate about put your pants up, do all this without any relationship. You cannot change anybody or influence anybody without a relationship. Even when you talk about hip-hop stars or basketball stars or whatever, these guys have built a relationship with them via watching them on TV all the time or whatever, and because of their celebrity status. Because of that relationship that was built with them, even if it was just a forced relationship upon themselves, they grow to trust these people. My boys, they trust me because if a person comes in and tries to speak something to them and they're not living whatever it is, I'm going to call you out on it. They see me protect them. They've seen me consistently all the time. They've seen Brother Eddie come in when he's sick or what have you, and like, no, there's no way I was going to miss this guy. They see Brother Eddie outside of the center or the place that we meet on a regular basis. They hear from me on the phone. I am the one that gets into it. Like, if they get in trouble in school or whatever, I make sure their parents and stuff get to me, and I will discipline them in the place that I'm in to make sure that they're in trouble. And I tell them real quick, I know you hate me or whatever, but when you're outside kicking rocks, saying how you hate Eddie, make sure you end the sentence correctly. I hate Brother Eddie because he loved me. So don't play me. Don't fall short of what's real. Well, you out there kicking rocks. Eddie made me do 150 push-ups or whatever. When you kicking rocks, saying how you hate me, make sure you end the sentence correctly with I hate Brother Eddie because he loved me enough to take the time to make sure I end up who I can be or who I'm supposed to be in life. So it is my passion for them. It is me protecting them, and most importantly, the relationship that I've taken the time to build, and that can only come with time. Contrary to popular belief, there's no love at first sight. So it's lust at first sight, but there's no love at first sight. And until you put that time in, it's not until then that these kids are going to feel that, you know what, this dude loves me. This dude cares for me, so I'm going to listen to what it is that he says or whatever. He got on me, but he broke it down why he got on me, and while I was doing the push-ups, I had to say why I was doing the push-ups, which means I understand what I did wrong or what have you. So he has invested time into me, and back to the whole, you know, lust is lust at first sight. It is those people that just, oh, I'm his father now. He got a deal. I see my son doing good. Now he my son. But you didn't put the time in prior to that time.
I like that.
To say
that,
you know what, I really invested in you or whatever. So that's lust at first sight. That's not love at first sight. When you put that time in, that's when the children realize, you know what, this dude is real. Whether he come up to me with a suit or a tie or just baggy jeans or whatever, he does love me. Brother Eddie took the time to listen to the type of music that I listen to so he could break down why it's ruining my thought process. See, but most of us say, well, I don't listen to that mess. I'm not dealing with that, instead of trying to meet them where they're at. How can you take somebody out of their situation if you won't go in their damn situation? That's the stupidest thing I ever thought of in my life. Who does that? You cannot take me out of the pit without coming in the pit. You can't do it.
Absolutely right.
But nobody would do that. We get them to the center where it's safe and talk about, man, you got to do your work, do work hard or whatever, but you won't go in the projects and chill with them. You won't go out there and try to make sure that they're getting themselves together when they leave the center where they got to live the real life for them. And all they do is see you drive off in your nice car into your suburban neighborhood or your good neighborhood, but you won't even come see where they at.
You know, guys, I got to give y'all all a round of applause, man, because all y'all nailed it right there. Because, you know, I think the main thing here is trust. You know, we can't teach our young men to become better men if they can't even trust you. If they can't trust you, you're not a man of your word. And I'm going to say that again, a man of your word. Don't talk the talk if you're not going to walk the walk. I mean, you know, I know Brother Lee doesn't like the analogy, but that's the best way I got to put it. Because you can't tell our younger men how to become a better man, you know, hey, let's just stay off of crack or don't be doing drugs, but yet you're on the block getting high. Or you tell me, listen, man, you need to have one woman, but yet you're sitting there chasing around, you know, all these other women, making all these multiple babies, and you're not doing right by the woman you have, a good woman at home. So, yeah, I agree. I think all you men has nailed it, because the fact remains, we can't teach our younger men to become better men if we're being hypocrites. We're being hypocrites about what we're telling them to do. And what happened is we create another generation of what people think, oh, you're just like your father, stuff like that. Because we're not setting examples. We're not living by that. And like Brother Eddie said, and I'm going to borrow what you said, Brother, if you don't mind, setting the seed and kind of letting it grow. I agree. I've done the best I can as a father, and I pray that my lessons are always there with my children. Same with all these gentlemen here on the panel. You know, all we can do is put the seed out there, you know, and try to live the right life. And hopefully, they've learned from it. They learn from it. So I definitely applaud all you men, definitely. But I have a question for you. This is going to be personal. This is going to be personal, guys, and I need a little clarity from you gentlemen. Now, those listeners who live in alternative lifestyles, I had a woman. About 2 years ago, I got into it with a woman. She lived alternate lifestyle. I'm just as man as you. We almost got into it. Yeah, my manhood took it. You know, my ego said, oh, whoa, how you doubt, you know, throwing your hands up. You want some work. Please help me understand this. Please help me understand this, guys. Eddie, you know, D, Daryl, you know, you got women out here saying, I can do just as much as what a man is. I know we talk about individuals, but you get those, you know, women that live alternative lifestyles will say that first and always. And this is only by experience. Only through experience that I've dealt with.
I think that's just the hit below the belt. That's the hit a nigga nerve. That's my opinion, you know what I mean? I can do much as you could do.
I mean, what does that tell me? What does that tell society? I know, you know, we're supposed to be everybody for their own individuals. They choose their own path and stuff like that. But what are we saying? I mean, what is society saying? Whereas men is not men enough in the family when they saying a woman was just as much as a man. I'm the husband too. I mean, is that more of an individual thing? I mean, maybe I'm reading into it too much, and maybe I have my own personal moral values.
If you fall for that, man, you fell for the okey doke.
That's on you, man. That's an individual thing.
Exactly. You're the individual. You fuck. Yo, I ain't no man, goddamn. I'm a man. I don't care what you say. It's not for you.
So was I wrong when she threw her hands, or was I wrong to catch her in the throat?
Yes, no, you were. You were dead wrong.
You
were dead wrong.
You should have threw some cold water.
You were dead wrong.
put the mic away.
She hit me first. She hit me first, brother.
Yo, yo, for real. Honestly, I deal with my boys all the time. You know, the topic of hitting a female, what have you. It comes up, or it'd be like, she hit me 5 times. So somebody to hit you 5 times, you stayed in that one place for somebody to hit you 5 times. I'm sorry, and that's just the reality. If you leave the situation, you cannot get hit, and that's all I'm saying. Leave. You cannot tell me. I don't care. I don't know what the situation. I don't know necessarily all the details of the situation. You cannot tell me that you did not sense or feel the person escalating to where she wanted to harm. Matter of fact, you said that she said I'm more of a man than you are. That's clearly a sign that she's trying to do something or she got a problem with you. Leave.
Hey, back down.
Leave.
Back down. She is a man. She beat you like that.
Leave, yo. Leave. So for you to hit a female or to get hit by a female, you have to be there. You got to be there.
So you must be there.
So I should have ran, brother, huh?
Let's put it this way now, and this is me just keeping it 100. Let's put it this way. Let's say, we're talking about walking the walk, right? Let's say while you giving her the work that you talking about, the work you give her, beating the brakes out, whatever you did, the people, the guys that you're mentoring, they came to the club late, and all they saw was you giving her the work. They don't know the whole story. What do they leave with thinking about Nas?
Well, he was beating up on his woman.
Right.
That one decision you made for just falling into the trap of some woman saying that she's more of a man than you. First of all, so what? What does that take away from you?
My family, listen, if you're going to act like a man, you be prepared to be dealt like with one.
If you want to reteach that and think that our society is going to get better, by all means, do you, bro. But it's just not a good look.
I understand what you're saying. You know, we as men, but then you have women, out here that's prepared to, well, I'm going to step to you like a man. But then yet, soon as they step to you as a man or step to other men out there or make these threats or act all crazy and unruly and they get dealt with on a very physical, individual basis, then all of a sudden they're yelling, well, God, I'm a woman. How can you?
Now individualism is out the window. Let's need to leave that chick alone, because that chick ain't nothing but demonized to me.
Yeah, but not to mention, we're talking about defining a man, and I hope defining a good man. So in the end, okay, say you win the fight. Do you leave or walk away as a good man or defined as a good man or taking the high road and saying, you know what, that's real ignorant. I don't have time for petty stuff and moving on.
Now you have men who've lost those fights. Now, I've seen men get their ass whipped by women.
I've seen men walk away with razor cuts to myself. You'll get yours, bleed in the plane.
again, they had to be there. They had to be there.
You can't get razor cuts without being there.
You know what? In all seriousness, guys, seriously, there's a gentleman that passed away. I'm going to just quick shout out. His name's Abu Saeed. He just passed away. He was a facilitator for the Men's of Peace in New Jersey. He said one thing to a lot of the brothers, at these classes. And like you said, I'm kind of going back to what Brother Eddie said. He says, you know what, you can't be in a domestic violence situation. You can't be in there. All you have to do is get away. Just get away. If you knew she's crazy, why are you staying around?
Uh-huh.
If she starts to swing at you or spitting on you, get yourself out of that situation. Because, what basically happens is when the police police come or society's looking at you, they're not looking at you like you said, Brother Eddie. You know, they're not looking at, hey, look, you know, he was defending himself. They're looking at
right.
you're a male, and you're going to be treated as such. So, I mean, I say that because you said something that reminded me what the Brother Saheed told all of the gentlemen in the mental peace class is that, you know, as men in relationships, if you see a dangerous situation, get out of it. You don't have to stay in it. Oh, you know,
right.
that's my baby brother. It doesn't matter. If she's pulling a knife out on you and a razor blade or a bat, get out of it. If she's cursing you out every day, get out of it. If she's unruly, she's always in the street and she's sleeping with Tom, Dick, and Harry and the whole New York Giants team, get out of it.
She's
so,
breaking
I mean,
you down,
the situation. So I said that because you reminded me what he's told us, a lot of the brothers. And I kind of live by that same rule now.
Yeah,
that's what's up.
Everybody quiet as hell then.
Because we went from homosexuality to hitting a female to a philosopher that passed away, who brought insight, I guess, to the topic. Yeah, that's a moment of silence. I don't know if it's for the guy that passed away or just confusion. Like,
well,
you know, where do we go? How do we?
Well, we're gonna say that was all a little bit of both because it's
yeah.
just part of the things that we deal with as men.
Yo, for real, and this is me. First of all, I want to start off by saying I love every single individual I encounter myself with, and that's including you fellas that's on this phone right now. And I would not be expressing or fully expressing my love for you guys if I don't stress an important issue that I noticed even on this conversation that men are encountering or partaking in on a daily basis. Now, in the beginning of this show, we had a lot of shared opinions, a lot of information being disseminated on this conversation, and at one point it kind of got a little hot, and we started disagreeing with each other, and immediately it went to a shift of just me and Nas talking for at least 10 to 15 minutes, to where Nas, who is such a wonderful host, and he worked hard to bring everybody into the conversation. I say all that to say it's very common, and I hear this from women. I do relationship coaching. When they bring something to our attention or when something's brought to a male or somebody's attention that they don't like or they don't agree with or whatever, that man shuts down.
Mm-hmm.
That is a serious issue. And it was evident in this show today. Please rewind the tape when you leave, whenever you can, so that you can see the reflection of yourselves and how, due to frustration, you shut down, stop communicating in less than 2 hours with other males. And we have to figure out, get to the root of why we're doing that, if we're doing that, because that is causing people, for one, not to communicate and issues to fester, and that's why people are snapping and going off because they're not talking. They're just holding stuff in. Like my brother said, I'm not sure what your name is. I truly apologize. I'm terrible with names, especially if I can't see your face to try to figure out how to identify myself, but identify the name with the person. But you said something about you had different issues with people in church or whatever, and you just kept it to yourself. Who was that?
The one.
Yeah.
I seen. I did not have.
Yeah. No. You seen it, but I'm saying even with seeing it, and I have this session with my boys every 15, 20 minutes just to rid ourselves of this stuff. Called the Get It Off Your Chest session. For the first 15 to 20 minutes, we talk about different things that they feel that they can't talk to their mom, their parents, their guardian, or whatever, to get it off their chest, even if it's their mom getting on their nerves, dad getting on their nerves or whatever, getting it off their chest, and we collectively as a group figuring out what's the best way that they can resolve the issue, or just shift their perspective on how they're looking at the issue to come up with a solution. And I just don't want us to get to the point where when we get frustrated, we shut down as opposed to trying to find a way to communicate or compromise, because as good men, we are losing out on opportunities to come up with resolutions or just grow as a people, because we either got an issue with somebody or didn't like what they said or mad that they didn't agree with what we said. And I saw that, and it was so apparent to me on this show today. And I definitely think that we need to step back and address it and figure out what in the world is it about us as humans that just because someone doesn't agree, we can't open up to try to figure out how are we together. Nas, you did a great job. Must admit that you know, I gotta always expose different stereotypes. That is commonly known as a woman thing to do, what you did today, trying to bring everybody together, the kumbaya or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it made you even more impressive as a man to do that and just try to find. I mean, it's been so many times where you said, "Man, I agree with you all," even when one person said it, just to try to bring the group back in and make other people feel comfortable about their opinions and what they're saying. Excellent job, Nas. But again, we as men, since we want to talk on the panel of men, we need to work on not shutting down. And but just because our views aren't agreed with, people do not feel the same way that we do, so that we can put our personal feelings to the side and try to figure out what's actually the problem. So I'm going to get off my soapbox. And just like I said, out of love and respect for every individual on this panel and on this phone, really listen to this tape, because it got real quiet, and again, it turned to a dialogue just because of emotions, which I think we talked about that being a woman thing, but it was clearly a person thing on this particular show. So,
I think that I agree as far as, you know, emotion wise. I think us as men, we are emotional, and not all men. I'm just saying from my experiences, we are, as men, we are strong-willed. And it appears that definitely every man on this panel is strong-willed, which that we need in our society. If we can take more men like we have here on this panel and learn a better way to communicate that out to the community, like whether it's DeJuan in his respective community, whether it's Daryl in his community, whether Brother Eddie in his community, or me in my community, learning to communicate, because I'm guilty. I have been known to shut down at times when things become challenging at times, and I have to kind of find a way to, how you say, pull myself out of the hole to get it done, whether I'm communicating something to my children or trying to figure out a way to mentor young men. If I see I'm running to a brick wall, so now I have to change up the game a little bit, change up my tactic, because you can't expect different results doing the same damn thing, especially in our communities. You have a lot of these people in our communities, you know, they talk, you know, hey, listen, I do mentorship, but you're doing the same thing. You're running the daycare. Let's keep it real. You know, let's deal with this issue, situation at hand. You got to change the tactic. You got to go to the hood. You got to talk to those in the hood. You can't tell somebody not to be in the gang if you don't understand why they're in the gang. You can't talk about from the hood. You can't say, hey, listen, you know, you need to not do this. And when they go home, mom is either, you know, listen, she's out in the streets. Dad is, you know, counting up thousands of dollars because he's been hustling. You know, you can't tell them not to do this. You have to kind of understand their situation. You got to, and then like you said, going back to what you guys said, is building a relationship. You got to know what the hell you're talking about. And I agree. We as men have to learn to better communicate, not shut down, not accept, hey, listen, be quiet. No, open your mouth. You got something to say. And whether it comes out something different or they may not understand, but if you're trying to convey a message that's positive, I say it. I mean, DeJuan, you know, something to say, don't be afraid to say. Don't shut down. You say it, brother, because, you know, I'm behind you 110%. Brother Dow, we grew up together. I know
about
how
to
you
say,
are. I know
which,
that you'll say.
When have I in
know
your life?
Say.
Exactly. When in my life?
And I damn sure don't know Brother Eddie, he's the last person who's going to shut down for any damn body.
Yeah.
And I definitely agree with that. But I do understand that there's a need for us brothers, men, to become better communicators. We have to stop just shutting up and accepting status quo. We got to open our damn mouths. We have to speak on what we feel. We can't just talk to talk or talk behind the scene or
right.
what I would call bar talk when a guy's sitting at the bar, man, these kids out here, or
right.
or the guys in the barbershop, oh, these kids, you're complaining, but you're doing nothing about it. We have to learn
That's
to talk
right.
to be better men for our younger people and as well our men and our young ladies. Because like Brother Eddie said, like Brother Darrell, like my man DeJuan, you got a lot of women out here busting their ass, raising single, you know, raising the kids by themselves,
mm-hmm.
and we have to try to be a part of the solution, not the problem. And if we can
mm-hmm.
lead by example, we may not be mentoring them, but if that kid can see you, so you know, I always see Mr. Holland over
mm-hmm.
there, or I'll see the girls,
mm-hmm.
or I'll
mm-hmm.
see Mr. Fairley over there. They may not know you, but they see how you carry yourself.
That's right.
And they may
That's
want
right.
to emulate you. But sometimes this, you never know who's watching you. I mean, I
mm-hmm.
say to all our young brothers that's listening, my daughter. Her and her boyfriend just came through the house, and he you never know. I mean, he's a young man. He's changed his life, and I'm very proud of him. I'm proud of that he wants to do the change. So I'm glad that I can have some influences just by how I carry myself. So, you know, I agree with Brother Eddie about communicating, and I definitely think this show shined that light on that as men. You know, we look for a definition. There's no real definition at the end of the day. It's us as individuals. Us being who we are because we are men and how we carry ourselves, I think, individually, how we carry ourselves and how we act out and what we do in life dictates what men is to us. And if it's positive,
mm-hmm.
then I guess that's the definition, so be it. I mean, that's how I can look at it.
Yeah.
And you know, it stems from a lot of people just saying, you know what, I want to keep the peace. I don't feel like all this arguing. I want to keep the peace. But in actuality, you're not keeping the peace because you guys might not be arguing, but now there's a war within you that's festering and building up and causing you to be mad, whether it's resentment or just straight-up hatred. And that's the worst thing that can happen in a situation like that. So definitely always speak your mind or granted, it might hurt somebody's feelings, but the truth is the truth, and they're just going to have to deal with it. And whether you don't get the cookie for that weekend or that day, so be it. You got to be honest because in the end, it's going to come up whether you guys start arguing over who left the lights on. And you're like, damn, really? You snapped on me because you left the lights on? Yeah, because the real issue was the thing that you did not talk about for however long or whatever, and you just let all that stuff build up to where the little things are now pissing you off and frustrating you because you won't you didn't take the time to express how you felt about that small thing or that one issue that you felt that you were keeping the peace and not even discussing anymore. So that's all I can really say is definitely speak about what it is that you have to talk about, but at the same time, understand it. I mean, so many people just say stuff and don't have no kind of rationale behind it. They just want you to accept it. And I'm looking at you like, really? You really? I'm supposed to receive that as truth or whatever? And we definitely need to consider that because when somebody challenges you and you ain't got your stuff together, you can't prove what you're saying is true, then you as a influential person on a radio show, in the community, whatever, you're not doing your job, plain and simple, and that's scary. And Nas knows I don't take anybody listening to me speak or anybody else speaking when I'm in the same environment or same room lightly because I'm concerned about who's receiving what's being said and what they're doing with it afterwards. So I'm going to always speak up if need be or have to because it's
well,
a dangerous.
I think you just said it right there. You speak up when it's necessary and when you have to. I think you have
mm-hmm.
to be able to first, before you articulate your stance or even to go into a dialogue over an issue, you have to understand what the issue is first. You have to be able
exactly.
to listen, not just
yeah,
hear,
exactly.
but you have to
That's
listen
right.
to what is
That's
said
right.
to you. In order
That's
for
right.
you to be able to articulate your point whether it's a counterpoint or sometimes it's the manner in which you say it. It's not necessarily
mm-hmm.
what you're saying. I might agree with
mm-hmm.
you on, matter of fact, I will definitely say, my brother, I've agreed with maybe 75% of the things that you've said because you spoke truth. Like, you have a little daughter that's 6. Mine's is 21 and about to turn 18. I raised
mm-hmm.
my daughters the exact same way. I have no
mm-hmm.
argument on anything that you said, so there's no reason for me to chime in when you're so eloquently going in a manner in which I agree upon.
Yeah,
now, if
yeah,
there was
oh,
something
oh,
that
I
disagree, then
mm-hmm.
yes, that's when I'm to articulate, well, I don't necessarily feel that this is the case, and this is why. I mean,
yeah,
that's good. I mean, I think that's across the board. I think the one thing I have to thank Wayne for is having this forum from which men can get together and to be able to talk about our issues, whether it be with each other, with society, or what have you. But we also have to be able to, okay, agree to disagree on certain occasions. There's no reason for me. I feel strongly the way that I do. Me personally, I'm a Christian. I get most of my philosophies were handed down to me biblically. That's
uh-huh.
me. Another person might have it handed down to them. They're Muslim. They handed it down to them by what they learned from the Quran. Someone
uh-huh.
else, maybe just something that Big Mama said, and that was good enough for them.
Uh-huh.
Whatever
uh-huh.
your core principle, I would say that when I say a man, not necessarily just specifically a male, a human,
uh-huh.
everybody has to have a core. There's something that drives them. There's something that is bigger than ourselves. We're very temporary. We have an expiration date. We're just like milk. We have an expiration date. We had a time we were born, a time for us to be here in the field, and a time to go home.
Uh-huh.
Bottom line. And it's what you do. It's not how long you have. It's what you do with the time that you're allowed it.
That's right.
It's how you're going to be judged. How your story is going to be how you lived, what you did while you were here. You know, did you take little and make much?
That's right.
Or did you have much and squandered it all? You know, your life is your testimony. How you do other people, how you do those who are close to you, how you are seen, how you are perceived. Like you, I think you said something before. You never know who's looking at you.
That's right.
Who's
That's right.
watching you? Your life is an example. How you go around, you know, you're with the kids, you're at the center, you're with the young man. Now, there could be another young man who's in the street, who's observing this. He's not in your
mm-hmm.
inner circle, but he's observing
right.
this from the outside. And it, like you said, seeds, just, you know, plant seed in fertile ground and watch it grow.
Yeah.
You never know whose life that you affect. There's a statement, I use it all the time. It is not your fault, but it is your problem. There are things that are brought to us. There are things that affect us, whether it's economics, whether it's educational, whether it's society, that affect our lives, affect our relationships with our women, with our children, with our parents, with our brothers. It may not have been anything that was of my doing. I didn't do anything wrong. But these are the circumstances and situations that I have. I have to deal with them. It is my problem. If you come into your house and somebody spilt milk in the middle of the floor, you could stand there screaming for an hour who spilt the milk. The bottom line is it's got to get cleaned up.
That's right.
It has to be about our actions as well as our words. I could say whatever on this radio show, but if my actions don't speak for me, then it's all a bunch of noise and hot air.
Well, sure is.
So, you know, I mean, and that's where we have to encourage, not discourage, encourage one another. When you see a brother doing it right, give it to him. Give it to him. It doesn't take anything from you to go good looking out. That's what I'm talking about. You know, if you need any help doing something, you got it. You doing something positive, you got it. Wayne knows if he needs me to do anything, you just ask me. You can ask me, you know, half an hour before you need me to do something. If I, you know, let me put this down. My boy's doing something positive. I got it. I'm right there. Not a problem. Why? Because we're supposed to encourage one another. We're supposed to be there for one another. We have a tendency to rip each other down because we're used to society ripping us down. There's more of us statistically. United States Census Bureau, if you want to know where I get my information from on certain things, I'll give it to you. United States Census Bureau says that there are more African-American males in the criminal justice system than in the secondary education system.
That's true.
By 2-1. 2-1. Over 2-1. Which means there have been more men who have been incarcerated or will be incarcerated than men going to college, to a trade school, what have you. Now, like I said, we have to look out for our young brothers. We need to improve our quality of life. Like I said, you have daughters. I have two beautiful daughters. I've been involved with males ever since 1994 is when I first started coaching Little League and then Cub Scout and then youth ministry at church, on and on and on, and that's how things started. Why? Because I have two little girls, and I want them to be able to find a young man who is upright, who is accountable, who is responsible, who does know who he is. And because you know who you are, you can respect her for who she is.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that we are all held accountable to do. I mean, just by, whether it be by living your life as an example, living the life that you talk about, but it's also showing a young brother. Like you said, you know, a man, you can't learn how a man is responsible and accountable because he leaves out the house and he comes back and that's it. You're right. He can't. But what if that same man who, when you go to school, he goes to work, he takes you to school, and he tells you, this is your work, I'm going to my work.
That's right. That's right.
When you come home, he comes home. When you're home, okay, you take out the garbage. Me?
That's right.
I got to fix that pipe downstairs in the basement. This is my job in the house that I have to do. This is your job in the house that you have to do. If I'm not here, the man of the house is you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your mother shouldn't want to need for anything because you are here. If she needs groceries to be brought in this house, she better not carry a bag.
That's right.
You go out to that car and you go ahead and get it. She wants you to wash the car. There ain't no question of whether you're going to do it or not. You grab that bucket and go wash the car.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that are instilled for you. God bless you. Your mom instilled it in you, a strong black woman. That's what our community is built off of, basically strong black women. And thank God for them. But we also used to have strong black men. And there are some. There are men on this phone right now who are very strong black men. And, you know, and each and every one of us are to be celebrated. And thank God for you. And I thank God for every strong black man who's listening right now. I mean, we all fall. We all waver. We all fall short. None of us are perfect. We all have our things with us. But we need to encourage one another to be able to move on in the process and to grow. It's a constant struggle. I don't care if you're 46, 36, 26, or 16. It doesn't make a difference. It's a constant journey. It's a journey until you leave here.
That's right.
So we need to just be about it. I mean, like I said, kids can tell when you're really about it. You know, if you are in your community, you are in your street, your neighbors know who you are because they see you. You talk to them. You interact with them. Your kids know who you are. And then as they grow up, the benefit is when they grow up and you see them, you know, they join the military, they become police officers, they become firemen, they work for New Jersey Transit, they work for the post office, one became an NFL football player. God bless them. You know, God bless each and every one of them. They walk the walk. They put in what they needed to in order to be the people that they are, and they continuously grow. They'll call me and say, Coach, Mr. Harrington, Mr. Darrell, how are you? What's going on? Blah, 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 blah. I got a question for you. These men are 28, 29, and 30 years old right now and will call me to ask me a question the same way they did when they were 9, 10, 11, and 12.
Mm-hmm.
No different. But you build relationships with people over years. They know
That's right.
it's real because it's always been that way. It didn't stop because you stopped playing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, two of them are coaching now because, okay, mm-hmm. you laid the example. Okay, this is what we do. This is how we do it. And you apply it. It's not necessarily a lesson plan that you give them. This is how you do it, A, B, C, and D. They see it. They hear it. They ask you about it. And then when it comes to their time, they implement it themselves.
That's right.
That's how society has gone since the beginning of time. That's the way that God had intended it. So we just keep on moving on and we keep on keeping on. But I am glad that we had this forum and we've had this conversation. And I hope that we can have more forums and more conversations. I would like to be able to take this forum and conversation live where we could get brothers in the vicinity so we can all open up this dialogue.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I mean, I definitely enjoyed the dialogue. And, you know, I expected the heated conversation because sometimes that's what we men do at times. I can only speak as a man because that's who I am. At least I try to be until my woman gets mad at me. but, you know, I expected this conversation to be heated. And, you know, it takes men with different views, individual thoughts and experiences to kind of come to the table. We may not all agree. We can agree to disagree, but the fact remains is there's no real definition. And basically we're all individuals. We try to use our experiences, what we learn, whether it's right or wrong from our experiences, what we witnessed growing up, to our mothers, trying to say, hey, listen, this is what I want you to do. This is how you need to treat a lady. That comes to part of being a man and how to conduct yourself around a woman. And then when you're seeing our men that's stepping up and raising their families to the men that's being what I call role models and good citizens and leaders of the community, it's definitely a great dialogue. You know, Brother Dow, you're more than welcome to be part of, you know, our show and chime in because, you know, it's about trying to build what we're doing here. And Brother Eddie, we talk every week, brother, and we go in, and I just appreciate his mind and how he looks at things. And he doesn't back down for nothing. And you need men like that in our community. The same thing like with you, Brother Darrell and DeJuan. Men that's not afraid to say what they have to say and be a part. Don't just talk the talk, but they're walking the walk. They're out there. They're not just talking and writing it out. They're not behind a desk saying, hey, listen, you know, this is what we need to do for our community. Those who's out there, who's doing it, who's every day, they're living by the word. They're doing what they're supposed to do. So I applaud you gentlemen and what you do, definitely.
That's what's up.
You sure?
But real quick, gentlemen, we come to the tail end of the show. I just want to kind of wrap it up, you know, just quick, real quick. Is there a definition or not? Or have we come to some conclusion at this point? Is there such a definition of a man for those listening?
Well, I guess I'll take the ball on this one. I still say it is to be dependable. It is to be accountable. It's to be stand up and it's to be upright. It's not saying that women aren't, but a man needs to be this thing. So you need to be able to be dependent on. You need to be able to stand up. Not only, I mean, for yourself, but for your wife, for your household, for your children, for your community. Like I said, there's only one person who could drive a car at one time. There's only one person who can captain the ship at one time. And we need to be able to stand up like our fathers did before us, like our grandfathers did before them, and lead our family. Lead them in prayer. Not just verbally, not just you know, economically, but just be there to be an example of this is how we were taught how to do it. It takes a village to raise a family. A village can be your aunts, your uncles, your cousins, your neighbors, your friends. We need to be upright, and that's the one thing that we need to pass down to our young brothers, because some of our young brothers don't quite have that message, and we need to press upon that to them.
Brother Eddie,
you.
What thoughts? What's your thoughts, brother? I mean, when I know, you know, for those listening to the show, what's your conclusion?
This show is still men undefined. we just need to be better people. Period. Everybody needs to be respectable, accountable, responsible, whatever. And if we are all doing that, we are all wonderful men and women. Period. I feel what the brother's saying in the sense that we're referring or we're talking to men, but when we make statements like men are supposed to be, that is implying that females aren't, and I think that's where we cause friction or disconnect, where there can potentially be a connection or a place where we can meet together and say, dang, we have more similarities than we have differences, and we can grow from that. And I personally think that it's stuff like that forces a woman to say, I'm more than a man than you are, more of a man than you are, whatever, as opposed to just saying that you need to get your act together as a person. you don't take care of your responsibility. you don't spend time with your children. You don't do whatever. That's not saying that she doesn't do it. Matter of fact, that's saying that she does it and you don't. So it has nothing to do with your gender. It's all in just making better people, period, so that we can have a better community. And us as males, the gender specifically, we don't get hushed and shot to the back, because we as you saw, we are very passionate beings, and if we take that passion and mix it with positivity, we can change the world. But if we're sitting back and allowing females to do all of the stuff that we should be doing, then we get lost in it, and we end up taking the back seat to that car he was referring to, or that plane that he was referring to, when in actuality, on these long roads, we should be switching seats sometimes
exactly,
to get tired.
Exactly.
So, but if there's a mentality that that's only your job, you are the only pilot, then that means when you're tired, it's not getting done, and that's an issue. Because so, who picks up on that long ride? Again, as individuals, I think we should all just be well-rounded people. It's too many dudes out here that are out here saying, dang, man, I'm hungry, but my old lady won't cook for me. Well, if you didn't have the mentality that men aren't cookers, you probably would have got your tail in there and learned how to cook some food, and now you're starving. So we need to stop generalizing things and look at everything as a individual, just taking a holistic approach to life and bettering themselves, so that we can all better each other and complement each other, instead of just saying, this is your job, that's your job, this is 50-50, when in actuality, if I love you, I don't understand why the hell I would give you 50% of myself as opposed to 100. That's just my take. I still think that we are, this show should be changed from the definition of a man to men are undefined because they're individuals.
Oh, believe me, brother, this is not done. This is definitely not done, because I know as we were coming to tell on the show, I got a couple other brothers that want to chime in. They texted me and they said we revisit this topic. They are definitely in. So I believe we struck a nerve. but for me personally, you know, what I define, this is my conclusion, my thing is, mm-hmm. me, my definition of a man is but through action. Me personally, if my positive actions gets me the label of being a good man and I'm doing positive things, then so be it. I'll take that definition. But that's me personally. I define manhood through my actions as being a man. So that's my conclusion. I let my actions speak, you know, for the definition, if you want to say that. So that's me personally. I hope my actions can be enough to set off a positive role model for manhood.
Amen.
DeJuan, where you at, babe?
Hey, we think we just lost D. Jimmy D was a drop call. But he texted me. He had to handle something. He had his a prior engagement. But listen, gentlemen, this has been great. Brother Darryl, you are more than welcome to come with the next week's show.
Love you, man. You're awesome, bro.
Darryl. Love you too, man.
Darryl, you're awesome, bro.
Eddie, you bad brother yourself.
Hey, listen. just real quick, guys, for those just checking out the show, those you can check out the archives. Just let you know, Brother Eddie and our listeners, last week's show, we struck a nerve again. We was at 800 listeners in 1 week for that one show. So we thank those that tuned in, especially some of Newark and Orange Finest. We appreciate you guys for tuning in. Also, you know, Darryl, real quick, is there anything happening in the city of Orange or things going on?
I definitely want to get that off. The city of Orange is having a rally and a community meeting Monday the 8th at 12 noon on the corner of Hickory and Taylor Street. The Orange Police Department, it's Director Hakeem Sims, brother from the community. The name of the initiative is STRIKE, Secure, Track, Remove, Inner Orange Crime, Keeping Everyone Safe. So for the community who wants, you know, we need to be involved. We need to be made aware of the things that are going on in our community. We've had several young people who have lost their lives just in that area of Orange between Oakwood Place, Hickory Street, Taylor Street. You know, this madness has to end. So, you know, the Orange Police Department is doing it. They're coming up with a new initiative, and they want to share it with the people. So it's up for us to, you know, to be a part of it. When people are have legislative abilities over our lives, we need to be able to be a part of the conversation. We can't be a part of the conversation if we don't show up.
Consider it, brother. I will be there. Give me all the details. We'll put it on the website. Consider it done. You know, I'm like yourself. I'm a warrior out here.
Yeah, I know that.
And, you know, if I'm in the area, I'm there. Consider it done. And I'll have some of the other brothers show support. So we're definitely there. So give us all the information. Shadow Worlds Radio, the Man Up Show, we're behind you.
You sure?
Amen. Amen.
All right. Brother Eddie, you got anything happening?
Oh, of course. At the end of this month of April, I started in me and several other people. We started an initiative here in Virginia, the Hampton Roads of Virginia. It's called "Am I My Brother's Keeper?" I believe you saw it and you had it on your website a while ago when we did our pilot, which was a great success, and so many people are now sponsoring it and everything like that. But we have our first event of many. Alternate Saturdays that we are going to, because we set a foundation, and now we are going to make sure that they got and understood what it is that that we taught in our pilot launch. So there's no more when it comes to this organization just sharing information with people and sending them off and hoping that they do well. We've shared the information. Now we're going to have follow-ups on Saturdays. We have a school that allows us to use their facility every other Saturday, at least up to two Saturdays a month, so we can go ahead and dive into topics like this to just make us a better man. It's for our children from eight on up. We don't stop. There's different workshops age appropriately, but more than likely we will be discussing the same topics in all of them, just delivering them in a manner of dependent on of the age of the group of that actual group of people or demographic. Also, another thing, man, it just hit me as far as this topic in general. Please, again, listen to this the archive, the tape of this, because every time we tried to explain or define men, it was stated what I think, what I feel, my opinion. Which goes right back to what I've been saying in the first place. It's individual thing. It's an individual thing because there will be no need to say what my opinion is, what I feel, if it was a male thing. I would think we would confidently say men think or men feel or men are, but we can't because it's us. It's how we feel men should be, and that's what causes the confusion and actually the topic to be so, like you said, to strike nerves or what have you, because everybody has their own opinion, their individual opinion of what a male or a female is or should be. But that's it.
Listen, guys, listen, I'm about to close it out now. Listen, it's been great. All the listeners, we appreciate you tuning in. Virginia, New York, Jersey, Connecticut, Georgia, North Carolina, California. We appreciate the love and support. My brother Darryl, Brother Dewan, and, of course, Brother Eddie. Sig, shout out to Sig. I know you're out there. We appreciate the love and support. We love you for supporting the show. Take care and God bless. Thank you, everybody.
Y'all take care. Be safe.
God bless everybody.